Even emotional. I'm getting emotional. Wow, what's going on here? But thank you, Pastor, so much for giving me the opportunity to preach. It's a privilege. It's always an honor to do it. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Nehemiah. We're going to continue our series in the book of Nehemiah tonight, and we're going to be in chapter 3. Go ahead and stand in honor of God's word. Nehemiah chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 1 and read down to verse 5. And verse 5 will be our text for tonight. Nehemiah chapter 3 verse 1 says, "Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his burden with his brethren the priests, and they builded the sheep gate, and they sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Maah. They sanctified it under the tower of Haniel. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho, and next to them builded Zachar the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Senna built, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Meremoth the son of Urijah, the son of Kaz. And next unto them repaired Meshullam the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshzabeel. And next unto them repaired Zadok the son of Bana. And next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful that we can be in your house tonight. Thankful that we can hear from you. Pray, Father, that you would just use me tonight. I pray that the heart and the attitude and the spirit would be what you would have. Help me not to say anything that you would not want said. Pray that you just speak through me. Pray that you be with our time tonight. We love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So the past few times I've been preaching, we've been going through the book of Nehemiah. And such an amazing book. It's my favorite book of the Bible. And Nehemiah is such a strong leader. And here we see in Nehemiah chapter 3, now all that work leading up to the building and repairing of the wall, his burden and desire to see Jerusalem, the wall of Jerusalem restored, and that hasn't come without some resistance. And Sanballat and Tobiah, and they kind of pushed back at Nehemiah a little bit there at the end of chapter 2. But Nehemiah said, no, the Lord's going to strengthen us, the Lord's going to help us build, so we will arise and build. Then we get to chapter 3. And the last time I preached, we talked about in chapter 1 how the high priest rose up, Eliashib the high priest rose up, and his brethren, and they builded the gate, they sanctified it. And so that they didn't waste any time. They said, let's go, let's start building this wall, and they sanctified it. And so that we saw the last time that they were dedicated to the work of building the wall. So tonight, I want us to look at, in verse 5, I want us to look at a determined people, a determined people. So, Andrew, you can put that as the title for tonight's message, and the text is verse 5. But when I worked for the city of Phoenix, later on in my career, I got promoted up to a management role, and I had the opportunity to get to hire people, and I had to hire lots of people. And it's not because people just stuck around for a little bit and left, but when I took over the manager role, I knew there was a lot of folks that were getting ready to retire. And then as they retired, we put in people that were willing and ready to work. When I hired people, now the interview process is only 30 minutes. And when I hired people, I didn't hire someone that would just do the bare minimum. I didn't hire someone that wouldn't work well with the group. I liked hiring, especially for entry-level positions, folks just right out of college. And they were so hungry, they were so driven to learn, and you could teach them and train them the way of how we do things, the right way. And it was a real blessing to see a lot of growth in that. But the group I managed, I had one employee that didn't pull their weight. They didn't, they would do the bare minimum, and I often said it this way. The employee worked so hard the first hour so they could sit and read a book the next 7 hours. And in the city, it's really hard to fire someone. You have to go through all the process and everything. But my view is, all right, let's go through the process and let's start documenting conversations and things like that. But whenever I would interview someone for a position that was going to be working with that individual, I would ask questions that would help me understand their work ethic, number one, but also how they would get along with other employees, especially an employee that didn't carry their weight in doing the job. And that can be a source of frustration for a team. If you have one person on your team that's not pulling their weight, that's not doing the work, it gets upsetting because people are like, well, they're not even doing all the work, so why should I? And so thankfully, everyone had a good attitude, a good spirit, and worked hard and just knew that that person didn't pull their weight. But I'd always want to know how they handled it. And I'd ask them to give me a scenario of a time where you worked with someone that way, and how did you handle it? And it allowed me to see their work ethic, their determination. And we see in Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "And next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord." And Nehemiah chapter 3 is such a great example. And as I've been studying it, it's such a great example of the church. And here's why. You have all these different groups of people all working together to build something. Amen. And that's what we do here at Western Hills. We're all supposed to be working together to help grow and build the church. And the Lord gives us the abilities. The Lord gives us the talent. The Lord gives us all the resources we need. We just got to put our hands to the work and let Him do. He does the building, but we got to put our hands to the work. And so when we're all working together, this chapter is just a picture of what the church is supposed to be doing. So today we're going to look at two types of people and the testimony that they had. They were both determined. One was determined to work, the other was not. So tonight I want us to see how the men of Tekoa had a testimony of determination. And as I look around this room, each and every one of you, you have a testimony. If you look at someone, so I'm going to use the example of Luke. Whenever you look at Luke, what do you think of Luke? All right, now don't answer that out loud. But when you look at Luke, what do you think? Is he short? Is he ugly? Is he weird? Sorry, I had to get in the last word. He called me short on Sunday. It's truth. I'm short. But I always warn people, don't make fun of short people. Because some of you know my mom is here. I spent most of my life just aspiring to be taller than my mom, who's 4'11". But my dad's like 6'2". I picked the wrong parent. But I will say, I used to tease my mom about her height, and now guess what happens to me? So you reap what you sow. Remember that, Luke. But we all have a testimony. And so that testimony can be good or it can be bad. And the Tekoites were people that were about, their town was about 10 miles south of Jerusalem there. And it was known for being more of a farming and shepherding type of community. It is the home of Amos the prophet and one of David's mighty men. And so now we're at the point where Jerusalem's, the walls are being rebuilt. And so they're jumping in and they're ready to get to work. So these men that are mentioned in verse 5 at the beginning, it says they repaired. But then if you look in verse 27 with me, it says, "After them the Tekoites repaired another piece over against the great tower that lieth out, even unto the wall of Ophel." The wall of Ophel in that section they built was even bigger than the one they were working on initially. So here you have these folks that they're determined to not just repair one section of the wall, but repair a second section of the wall. And you could almost say that these men were go-getters. They weren't just satisfied with just doing a little piece. They were satisfied with doing a little piece and doing more. And they weren't content with doing the minimum. They were determined to do more for God. And think about when you work a job. If you just went into career and you just did the bare minimum, would you see your career grow very much? Would you see those raises that you would get very much for not putting forth the effort if you just did the bare minimum? And you could argue and say you wouldn't see growth. You wouldn't see anything happen. But people that are go-getters, and we've all seen it, we've all been there, we've all hopefully are a go-getter type of person, that when you are a go-getter and you give it all and you want to do more and just not do the bare minimum, you're going to see growth. You're going to see exceeding abundant of everything that God would allow you to have. Think about this. When you just do the bare minimum, you're just skating by. But when you go all in, you see God do so much more. So God does exceeding abundantly anything that we ask, think, or do, right?
Yes.
So what happens when we do that? That's the least that we can do, right? It's a reasonable service to be able to give God everything, to be all out, to not just be satisfied with just doing the bare minimum. We shouldn't be servants that are satisfied with doing the bare minimum. The Tekoites said, this is Jerusalem, this is the wall. We want to be all in and build it and get and see growth and see God do a work. And God's already worked such a miracle in the life of Nehemiah in getting him there. So now let's let God do the work and let's get involved and let's not do the bare minimum. And when God calls you to do something, give it your all. You know, if those men of Tekoa were here today, guess what they would encourage you to do? Go all in. They would encourage that. In Colossians 3:22-25, it says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the rewards of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." Our motive for serving should not be to please men, or to be in the spotlight, or to allow pride to settle into our lives. But it should be to serve because we love our Lord. We love our Savior. That should always be our motive. That should always be our focus. And when our focus and our motive gets away, guess what happens? We start to see things dwindle down in our service. We start to get away from God. We start to lose sight of what we're serving for or who we are serving. So when we are to serve heartily as unto the Lord. And that's what God commands. You know, have a testimony of serving with the right motive. You know, when no one else around you is willing to step up and do the work, don't fall into the peer pressure of not doing the work. See, the men of Tekoa, they saw that nobles weren't putting their hands to the work. They could have said, well, if they're not doing it, I'm not going to do it. Christian, don't fall into that trap that Satan wants you to believe. Well, if no one else is doing it, then you just shouldn't. If no one else doesn't want to work in the nursery, well, I guess I shouldn't work in the nursery because no one else wants to. And don't have that mindset. Don't have that motive of just doing the bare minimum, but give God your all. Don't let Satan tempt you with that. You know, doing a work for God is the most rewarding thing you will ever do in your life. I tell the teenagers this all the time. You won't regret serving God. But you know how many people look back at their life now and say they regret not serving God? You know how many people look back at their life saying, I regret not doing more for God. I should have done more for God. I could have been more involved. I could have done more. And why didn't I do it? Just be all in. Just be all in. You know, ministry can have challenges. No doubt about it. It's not always easy. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But God, if God has laid that on your heart to do something, then you must be obedient to do it. You know, we've started up a lot of new ministries here in the past 6 months, and it's been wonderful. It's been amazing. Amen. You know, it's amazing seeing teenagers that have never even sat in junior church as a kid getting to do it, getting to teach a verse. And that should encourage your soul. That should excite us to want to do more. To see people serving who've never gotten to serve before, have never gotten to do something for God, it should encourage us to do more. But what we ask you, whenever we ask someone about being in a ministry, we always ask them to do this. I want you to pray about it. Amen. You know why we do that? Because when ministry gets hard, you can look back and see, I've prayed about it. This is what God wanted. Yes, it's hard, but I need to just push through. I just need to give it to the Lord, and I just need to do the ministry, do the work of the ministry, and push through, and not let anything else keep me from serving God. And even when times get hard, you can still look back and say, I remember I prayed about this. God gave me peace about this. He gave me confidence that this is what he would have me to do. You know, it made me think about when we first were invited by a pastor to come here and pray about coming on staff here at the church. And it was a big decision for us. There is zero doubt that it was a huge decision. And it's a decision that I wasn't going to take lightly. Right. And if I didn't pray about it, if I didn't seek God about it, whenever the hard times came, Pastor, guess what? Guess what I'd be tempted to do? That's it. I'm done. This obviously wasn't what God wanted. I was terribly mistaken. But no, I have 100% confidence because I sought the Lord about it. I got along with God, and He gave me peace. He gave me confidence, and I knew that this is where He wanted us. Amen. You know, when we all work together and serve God together as a church, God does great things. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want us to see the determination, how these men were determined, but how us as a church, we need to stay determined to do the work and how the work works. Probably would help if I turn there too. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 1. And we're going to, it's a little bit of a, we're going to read down to verse 10, but I think it's so important that we see here, the church of Corinth was not the perfect church. Amen. It was far from it. And Paul was addressing a lot of issues and things to the church. But one of the things that he addressed was this idea of serving together. And starting in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, and strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." Notice he says that again. He's making sure that they understand it's not us that gives the increase, it's God that does that. Amen. Verse 8, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one." Think about that. We have a church here. Some of us are planting, some of us are watering, but what are we supposed to be? One. "And every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor." Verse 9, which I love this verse. "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon." So in this passage, Paul is saying that we're all to work together when it comes to the cause of Christ. We are nothing. He's trying to point that out. Who's Paul? Who's Apollos? Who are these people? We're nothing because it's God that gives the increase. But we shouldn't be we shouldn't let divisions keep us from serving God. We shouldn't be allowing divisions, because can I tell you right now, with our church growing, with the direction that our church is heading, Satan wants nothing more to do than to divide you. He doesn't want you to get along with the person on the other side of the room. He doesn't want you to get along with those that you're serving with in ministries. You know, we talk about when we do our policies and procedures training for the different ministries. Don't get, if there's something between you and another person, get it right. That's biblical, right? Number one. But we shouldn't allow things, divisions, because that's all Satan can, if Satan gets a division, he can totally mess up a church. He can totally ruin a church. And that's what he wants. He doesn't want to see growth. He doesn't want to see things built. He wants to cause division. Because in verse 9, we're laborers together. We're all in this together here. We're all here to serve God. We're all here to move forward for God. We're all here to do the work of the Lord. But sometimes we get ourselves into trouble when a ministry becomes our ministry. It's not ours. It's God's. This local church is God's. And he's the one that should get the glory for when things grow. And it's not us. It's not anything that I'm preaching. It's not anything that's pastors preaching. It's God that's doing it. And as a church, we need to view ministries when we get to serve, that we get to serve. We get to serve. It's a privilege. It's an honor. It's an honor to get to work with your young people every week. It's a privilege to get to sing in a choir. It's a privilege to get to change a diaper in a nursery. Amen. I mean, poor Miss Tiffany a couple weeks ago had a baby puke all over her. I mean, but that's part of the work. That's part of the work. And it's not always easy. But Satan's going to try to divide us, just like he was trying to do at the church at Corinth. So we saw that those Tekoites, the men, they didn't care what the nobles did. They said, we're going to be determined to serve God. We're going to labor together. We're going to join everyone else. We're not going to let anything else keep us from serving God. Amen. So the men of Tekoa had a determined testimony, but the nobles had a do-nothing testimony. In verse 5 of Nehemiah chapter 3, it says, but the nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. The nobles were more the chiefs or the authority over the town. And when it came time to build the wall, they're like, we're not touching it. And there's a lot of speculation. Oh, maybe they were just lazy. It's possible. Maybe they're just stubborn. That's possible. Maybe they knew of some of the friction that was happening with Sanballat and Tobiah and some of the other nations surrounding that didn't want the wall built. They're like, oh boy, we want to get along with everyone, so we're not going to touch it. But no matter the motive that they had, they were still not willing to serve God. Right. And can I encourage us in this way tonight? That there is never an excuse why we can't serve God. Amen. And you say, well, Brother Joe, I have health issues, I have health needs. And the Lord knows that. But guess what? You can still serve God. You might not be able to serve in a nursery, but you can still, here's an example of something you can do. You can still send thank you cards. You can sing happy birthday cards. You can be a prayer warrior. And there's so many needs and so many things in a ministry that can be done and so many different ways you can serve God. But you can't let excuses, you can't let motives, you can't let anything keep you from serving God. And these men, they weren't willing to put their necks to the work. It's that farming principle of the ox as they were pulling the plow and they had that brace on their back. They weren't willing to go. We're not moving. We're not doing anything with this wall. We're not going to put our necks to the work. We're not going to do the work. But maybe their motive was, maybe it's just not going the way I wanted. Oh, man, I think Nehemiah is doing this all wrong. I think he should have just started with building this wall a little bit differently. We should just tear the whole thing down, and instead of repairing, let's just tear the whole thing down. And maybe that was there. Can I tell you that happens when we ministries? We have this view of maybe we think it should be a specific way, but maybe it's been prayed about by the leadership that it should go differently, and we should just follow what God has laid on leadership's heart to do and go. But maybe a ministry needs to grow, but you don't want to put in the work to seeing that grow. Oh, man. I have a Sunday school lesson that I got to prepare. But, man, the football game's on. Oh, what's more important, the Sunday school lesson, the football game? Okay, the football game. But that's what the nobles did. They put that off. They weren't willing to put the work into it. They made excuses. They didn't. No matter what the excuse was that wasn't given, they still didn't put in the work. They didn't lead by example. Instead, they just let others do the work. And there are those in churches today that bear all the load, and there's ones that aren't willing to help carry it. Amen. Right. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that's the case in our church. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But it is true that in churches, you have ones that you know that they're serving, you know they're on fire for God, and then you have ones that are just attending. They're just maintaining the tank. They're just doing the bare minimum. But we can't afford to do the bare minimum for God. We should want to strive and give our all and give everything to God. Don't be like the nobles and just put not your neck to the work. Get involved. Serve God. Amen. Be a part of it. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. So if there's someone that's working nursery every week, we need people to stand up and say, hey, you know what? I see that person's working nursery every week. I can go and help, you know, clean up a diaper. And, you know, and if a kid pukes on me, oh, well, it's, you know, I wear a little smock and everything. But what we need here in our church is people to step up and say, you know what? I want to serve. And it doesn't matter in what capacity. If I need to go clean the toilet, I'm going to serve. If I need to go, serve in the nursery and change a diaper, I'm going to serve. And I don't know why I'm using that, because it's not like nursery is, you know, a bad thing. I used to work in the nursery. I didn't mind changing it. Hey, I get to wear gloves and, you know, change diapers. I changed our kids' first diapers and everything. I'm not afraid of it. Of course, you're like, Brother Joe, you worked in wastewater for 16 years. Yeah, that's true. But I'm not afraid of it. It's not a big deal. And so it smells. It's going to. But we need to still not make excuses of why we shouldn't be serving God and help bear other people's burdens. Because think about, in the last few weeks, we've had a lot of folks sick. And maybe in some ministries, we've had to stretch and pull people so that we can cover it. But if we could get some folks that will stand up and say, you know what? I see that there's a need here in this ministry. I want to help. If there's a need here, I want to help. Don't wait till someone else is doing it. Get involved and say, Lord, is this something you would have me to do? And you do it. Amen. You know, if you're in a position of leadership and you're not willing to put your neck into the work, then you're no different than these nobles. And this is a reminder to me, right? Joe, you need to be working. Joe, you need to be working hard. This isn't a time to slack off. Put your head to the plow and work. But I want us to look in Matthew 11, chapter 11, verse 28. It says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, the Lord's really blessed us to be able to serve in different ministries throughout the years. From kids' ministries, which you get pied in the face. I've almost had my head shaved. All right. Let's talk about junior camp for a second, right? That is a sacrifice. You know, junior age kids can be some of the smelliest kids. Amen. And they don't like to bathe and things like that. If you're a junior, I'm not trying to be offensive, but that's true. It's true. And, you know, and sometimes it's not always pretty. Can I be honest? Sometimes it's really hard. You know, one of the hardest things in serving in a ministry is, especially working with young people, is when they get away from God. Amen. When you see that they're not living right, when you see that they're not doing right, and you encourage them to do the right things and live the right way, and they get away from God, they get involved in drugs and alcohol and go down the wrong path, ministry's hard. Amen. It's hard for the parents. It's hard for the youth pastor. But you know what? You know what helps get you through it? You should just take it to Jesus. Amen. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And guess what he does? He gives you rest. Those nobles didn't realize they would have just put their necks to the work. If they just would have served alongside the other men and bear each other's burdens, guess what they could have done? They could have built even more. They could have repaired even more. They could have done even more for Christ. But they chose not to put their necks to the work of God. Right. You know, if we all would just come alongside each other and just work together, man, God would do so much. Amen. You know, as I look at each person here, each person can do something great for God. Amen. Each person in this room. None of us is better than the other. We can all do it. Amen. My challenge to you tonight, which one of these two types of men are you? What is your testimony tonight? Don't miss out on the blessing. It's so awesome to get to do this. Pastor and I talk about this all the time. You sit back and you realize, I get to do this. Don't let it be said of your life. Because these are these nobles in this chapter, if you look, it's the only negative thing talked about in the chapter. That was their testimony. How many people have read the Bible and saw that these nobles didn't put their neck to the work? When God looks at your life, he knows your life. He knows your heart. If God were to look at you tonight, would he say, man, that person's all in? Or are we to look at you and say, they're not putting their neck to the work? Yeah. Which one are you tonight?